بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome everyone once again to my 14th episode of the podcast Iftar for Soul. And that means we are going to talk about the 14th revelation. And I really want to thank all of you again for listening to this, and also to those especially who are reaching out to me, posing questions, and I'm very humbled that you take out time not only to listen but also to ponder about that, to ponder about the message, and that strikes an interest in you, that you feel like knowing more. So I really appreciate that feeling, and I am very, very thankful to you. But I'd like to make a very small disclaimer here. Not a disclaimer, but I'd like to point out something very quick before I start my today's talk, is that please feel free to ask any question. It's there is, you know, it makes no sense for me personally to be offended in any way by any kind of question. I think if the question comes from a place of innocence, a place of interest, curiosity, the pure intention of seeking knowledge, then I think we should also learn as the ones who are sought, the ones who are reached out to, that we humble ourselves by that intention, and that we answer to the best of our knowledge. And if we do not know the answer, we direct them to the right person or the right source. So I just wish that, you know, we are able to cultivate these healthy discussions between people. And in no way I'm offended by any kind of question, as long as it's not I think if it could come across offensive if people start attacking. But I'm sure the questions that I get, they're not of that nature. So, and even if they are of that nature, I think we can still talk about that. So there's no way I'm offended with any kind of question. And I actually, in retrospective, I appreciate that a lot. And because I got some questions and people were asking, I don't want to offend you, but please, the knowledge that I'm sharing is not mine also. It's something that is out there, and I think everyone has access to it. I'm just a mediator, you know. I'm just spreading the message that is already there. So it's nothing that I will not be offended, because it's not something I did. So maybe you will offend me if you tell me that the cake I bake is not nice. But of course, you know, it's nothing. It's nothing big. But I just wanted to say that please question. We should learn how to question. We should learn how to answer, and you know, without putting anyone's dignity in danger. But as I said, I'm very open to questions. So please keep them coming. And you know, at this point, I'd like to mention something from the Quran about questioning. We learn in the Quran the entire process that took place, not the entire process, but all the events that took place before the creation of man. And at that point, the angel asked Allah, you know, when the decision was made that Allah will create mankind, the angels asked Allah, like, why do you want to create somebody that will spread mischief and corruption on earth? And then Allah answered, you do not know what I know. And that was more or less a reply. But, you know, the idea behind is that if angels have the freedom to ask a question to Allah, you know, to that position, where does that leave us humans? So, you know, like, I think that it's, and even at the time of the Prophet, many people used to come and ask him questions. So I think questions are very healthy, because it brings people forward in their ideas. It opens the door to research. It opens the door to question things, and you know, it's a beautiful thing to question. So please feel free to do that. All right. So without further discussion on that topic, today's surah is quite interesting, because again, there is this one topic that's going to come that we have already dealt with before. But the overall theme and subject matter of the surah is different, but there's once the ayah that comes at a very at a very climax kind of position in the surah. And I thought about that, like, you know, why are there certain messages repeated, or certain ayat or certain topics repeated in different places of the Quran and in different revelations. And, you know, it's so I just, you know, brainstormed it a bit, and I researched a bit about it. And it's really interesting. You know, the question is not why do we repeat something? The question is also, have we internalized that or not? Well, sometimes we come across information like, oh, okay, fine, I've read this before. Okay, the same shit again. You know, I've the same, sorry for that word, but you know, the same discussion again. But you know, the idea behind all of that is, of course, if you haven't internalized it, but if you don't want to internalize it, that's another topic. But you know, the idea of the Quran is that no matter, even if you have so many different situations, things boil down to perhaps very few aspects of our nature. And if we fix them, or if we take heed, or if we take guidance in those matters, we would be able to take care of many things in our lives. You know, it's like we take care of the roots. I think I've already taken this example before in my podcast, where if we take care of the roots, all the big problems will come down, and will come down as in will fall down to the ground. We will be able to take care of it. So sometimes we feel ourselves belittled by the amount of problems we have or the challenges we have. But if we take care of only few basic fundamentals, we will be able to solve many things in our lives. So the subject matter of this surah is yet another very interesting thing that Allah tells us about ourselves, and I think that's beautiful. I was actually googled a bit, and just to see what's happening in today's times, if are people talking about that, and yes, I came across an entire page of that. I will talk about that when I come to the topic. What am I referring to? But I was quite surprised that, you know, this is still a topic that still affects people. So just to give you a bit of a background. So the surah opens on a very interesting note. Allah creates a very vivid imagery of horses, of racers running, galloping, making sounds, and as you know, try to imagine one of these Hollywood movies or these any kind of movies where you have in the beginning of the movie you see these horses running and panting and you know, making sounds. And not only that, Allah even describes that, imagine that these horses are running so fast that they are sparking fire with their hooves against the stones that come across in the way. And they are just racing and running towards their enemies or towards the people they want to attack. And as Allah is building up this imagery as the suspense and bringing it to a climax, right after that, guess what Allah says? The topic we already discussed before. Indeed, mankind is ungrateful to their Lord. So I'm like, you know, you have this entire imagery of horses running and panting, and you know, there's this. It's coming to a climax, and about the ayah right before that is also about them arriving at a certain point, and then, you know, snap, and you have this ayah, and I'm like, what is happening here, you know? And it's so people are not really sure when exactly this surah was revealed. Not people, excuse me, the scholars, and they said that what it describes. I mean, think about tribal times, right? Think about tribal wars, where you are also in an area, you know, your house is not protected. You are talking about 6th, 5th century, 7th century, those times where I don't even know if there were these in the middle of the desert, there were gates of something of your house. You know, you probably had people had open verandas, and if you just Google it, if you go to YouTube and if you try to put just type in Mecca at the time of the Prophet or Medina at the time of the Prophet, you will see the kind of houses were there. So it will put many things into perspective for you. Because it really helped me to also visualize the times back then. Because right now it's living in this century in 2021, it's not easy to imagine how a house would look like back in the time. So you can look at that in YouTube. So we're talking about these people, you know, who would just raid these houses at nights. They would attack women, kids, men. They would take away. They would loot their wealth, some part of their produce, and you know, even talking about wealth. I mean, in that in those times assets were also wealth. For example, the items they would trade with, you know, clothing, fruit, especially dates, for example, could be anything, right? So there were no banks back then. You know, where would you put your wealth? You know, right? There was no bank, nothing. So you had whatever you had, either at your home or somewhere. So Allah's creating a scene that, you know, these people who raid at dawn and they come with their horses, they attack, and then it says that that the mankind is ungrateful to their Lord, and and then he talks about that he's witnessing that, and not only that, but then he says that indeed he is in love of wealth intensely. Now the thing is, Allah in this ayah the ayah where Allah says that lihub al khair. Now he does not say that his love. Here, khair means good, but if you translate that, it has been taken in the context of wealth. It's not in the context of good per se. So here, it's a sarcastic comment that people think what is good for them, which they think is good for them, but actually it may not be good for them. And this a very interesting ayah comes to my mind right now that you have in Surah Al-Baqarah. It's this ayah number 216. It's a part of that ayah, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, ayah 216. But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you, and perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you, and Allah knows while you know not. So, you know, it's quite a relatable ayah here, that, you know, where Allah taunts about that, how much you love the worldly gains that you are unaware of the actions that you're doing. Why Allah says that Allah knows, and why is Allah witnessing, and, you know, why is he saying that? Because Allah is saying that what you're actually doing is not good for you, but you're not aware of it. That's why Allah says you do not know it. So knowing doesn't mean that I don't know what I'm doing. It's not that that phase and that condition. It is about the choice that you've taken. You wish you knew that, but deep inside he also says that you know it. But you know that what you're doing is not the right thing to do. But you're just so driven by the greed and by the love of this worldly gain that you are completely blinded by that. And that's why what it brings me to the topic of this podcast is that the Surah 100, the central plot of the Surah is the accountability. The accountability of actions. So it's Sheikh Sayyid Abul Ala Maududi, he beautifully starts the explanation of the subject matter of this of the surah. The surah, I'm sorry, I think I did not mention it. The surah is 100 and it's only 11 ayat. It translates to those that run and the courser, the racers. So there are two meanings for that. A courser does not mean the course as in like a study course, but course as in the path that you take, the path that you're running on here. And so back to the subject matter, he says a really beautiful thing. He says that the objective of the surah is to make people realize how evil man can become when he denies the hereafter or he becomes heedless of it. And that he will be held accountable for that. So what mentality are we talking about here? So it's quite something that I have seen being practiced so much in today's times. I mean, imagine yourself. So I've lived in Germany for a long time now, and you know, when you get onto a public transport, especially the metro station, the metro train, when I was living in Dubai, in order to enter the metro train, you had to, you know, scan your card to open the door and to get inside the metro station. I think it is also in many countries in Europe, but here in Berlin, in Cologne, in Düsseldorf, there is no physical door that you have to open with a card, and the card also needs to have money, otherwise it won't open. So you are basically allowed to enter, and if you're caught, you have to pay 60 euro fine. It's the same for the buses also. Many people, they don't do that. They're like, yeah, okay, who checks? And then they don't pay. So, you know, it's so interesting that when we know that we may not be held accountable for our choice, we might act unfair. So, for example, you know, when you go around, oh, cameras are not watching, let's shoplift, let's hit that person, or let's attack that person, no one is watching, let's bully that poor kid at school, there's no one around, there is no elder around that poor child, let's attack him. Or unfortunately, this, when a woman walks alone at night, and then there's a group of hooligans together, these vagabonds going around, and they're like, oh, there's no one, we can get away with it. You know, this mindset that we can get away with it, so we feel entitled to do anything we want. This is such a harmful mindset. This is such a dangerous mindset. And you know, there's this that's, you know, what I was referring to. Like, you know, imagine these rapists that go around with their chest broad and walking around on the face of this earth, and you know, violating dignity of so many women out there. And it's not only despicable action that they do not realize that even if they realize that since no one is going to hold them accountable for this action, they feel the freedom to do whatever they want. So, you know, especially people in power, when there are so many industries working on that model at the moment. Like, for example, I don't know if you know it, but if you watch the documentary on Netflix, I don't want to shame any particular brand right now, but if you watch certain documentaries, there's plenty on Netflix, you will see that how dirty games so many corporations, so many organizations, especially these huge corporations, fast fashion, fast moving consumer goods, food, daily necessities people have, sanitation, whatever that is. There are so many companies working right now actively knowing that their practices are not ethical, they're not moral, they bring more harm to the society than good, yet they do it. Because they know that there's no one to hold them accountable for that. So even if Allah talks about this, you know, if we think, okay, it's a tribal warrior, people were illiterate back then, okay, they were not progressive, or, you know, we can come up with any kind of explanation. But what is beautiful that Allah talks about the nature of human. So if you have that in you, no matter in what in what era of time of humanity, of civilization you are, you can find a way to do something evil and to justify that if you know that you're not going to be held accountable for that. So I know some people, I'm not saying any names here, but I know some people who shoplift from these big supermarket chains under the argument that, yeah, you know, they have so many billions, they are not being fair to the workers, and they overcharge, so it's okay if they lose a few euro, and it's my right, so to say. I mean, the idea behind it is good. I mean, she or he are aware of that of the wrongdoings of that organization, but it's perhaps not the best way to channel it. And this is what Allah talks about in the surah. He's like, you think there's no one to check you. You think at night you can do whatever you want. But then at the end of the day, you're going to come back to me and then we will talk. So, you know, it's a very alerting warning to people who have that mindset. And because if you go towards the end of this ayah, of the surah, just give me a second. Yeah. وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's ayah number 10. And that within the breasts will be laid bare. And the secrets of the hearts will be laid bare. surely their Lord is all aware of them on that day. So what day is he talking about? He's talking, Allah is referring to the day of judgment. You know, when everyone will be brought to be accountable for what they have done. So the things they got around, they got away with, right? And then again, this brings me back to my discussion of, you know, karma and universe, where we say, okay, you know, this person has a good karma, this person has a bad karma. What goes around comes around. You know, this is exactly what Allah is also talking about here. So, you know, we can connect. But of course, here I will not say karma, I will say Allah, and I will, since I'm talking about Quran at the moment, but, you know, in your, for you to understand, for you, in your perspective, if you know, you do not believe in religion, you could, you know, think of in terms of, you know, universe, you know, like what universe does, and how it takes care of people who have done bad to others, who have been unfair to others. Because I think people who also take money from by illegal ways, you know, there are so many corrupt politicians. I think somehow or the other, the universe or Allah finds ways to take the money back from them. Either they will be, you know, they will not find what they wanted to find by taking money, by gaining. Because, you know, there is this always this intention of gaining something. So, you know, you have to see what you're running after. What are you going to gain out of that? But some people are so blinded by this gain that they don't care what means they use to get to it. Especially when they know that they can get away with it. So, I was thinking about that, you know, like, you know, while talking about this this gains and running after these worldly gains, this ayah, so this is an ayah of, so 11, this is a surah of 11 ayah, right? So the middle point is more or less 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So, you know, this is the miracle more or less of the surah. See, the first 5 ayah talks about these horses galloping, right? And then the last 5 ayah talk about, okay, so just a second, it talks about that, you know, there's a witness that you are just, I'm witnessing that you're just running after worldly gains, and the contents of what you have in your heart, what will happen in the grave, everything will be split up, everything will be, you know, will come out, and whatever is in your hearts will be left bare. And then right in the middle of all of this, so the middle point of the surah, this is the 6th verse, Allah says that surely humankind is ungrateful to their Lord. I mean, just wow, it blows my mind how Allah centers that your ungratefulness is what leads you to all of this. So, you know, it's like for me, and that's why when I read this verse and when I read this ayah, I started to say, like, what is this gratitude again, right? Like, have people been talking about that? Are people still having problems processing that? I came across an on the Stanford University website, there's an entire encyclopedia of philosophy where there is a complete chapter on gratitude, where they talk about gratitude. It's actually called plato.stanford.edu, and then there is an entry of gratitude. There you can check, and you can, it's a very long article where you can read. And then, you know, I came across another 47 famous sayings of people on gratitude. And then you have people like Charles Dickens, you have William Shakespeare, you have Plato, you have Aristotle, you have C.S. Lewis, John F. Kennedy, you know, you name it. You have Oprah Winfrey, and you have Epicurus, you have Rumi, you know, all these people talking about gratitude and highlighting how big of, it might sound so trivial, it might sound so simple, but the consequences of the absence of that are just so, you know, they echo through your actions, whatever happens because of lack of that. So, you know, I just wish that even if certain topics, they might seem simple in nature, we can understand them in a more, with more depth, right? And to develop a vertical approach to a certain topic, to see so what kind of implications it might have. So this mindset of feeling entitled and not feeling accountable for your actions, it's something that I see so much in societies where people, rich people, are in power, and especially how their kids deal with people who are not on the same social status as they are. You know, when you, so many videos surface from these two countries that I've lived in, where you know, people have this question, do you know who I am, or you know, where they break laws, they feel that they have, if they have connections to the politicians, if they have connections to the ministers or whoever that is, they feel that they can act however they like without knowing what kind of consequences it might have. So I think it's for me, it's a very deep and a very relatable message, that we sometimes also feel that if we are not getting caught, we might mix, let's sell milk with some water in it. Let's sell this food item. I mean, look at the food industry. If you really look at the food industry, I can really recommend this documentary, Food Inc. You really see how these big food companies can get away with all of that. Why do you think so many people are turning vegan? You know, because so many people are turning vegan or vegetarian because people are now becoming aware of what these huge industries are doing to animals. They are injecting them with God knows what chemicals, wallahu alam, what they put in these animals to get more milk out of them, to get more meat out of them, to get more taste out of them. What they do to the vegetables, to the fruits. So you know, this is not only something that is out there in bigger corporations. It's something that we also have. You know, we can also question ourselves what actions we are doing. Are we doing that we are only doing because we will not be held accountable for that? For example, breaking someone's heart, acting, cheating on people. So many people I know, they text people behind their partner's back because they know they will not get caught. They will know their way out. So you know, if we can really cultivate this habit in us, that even if we will not be caught, we can get away with it. Some way or the other, we will be held responsible for that. And that's why for me, the Day of Judgment, the end of times, makes so much sense. Being a believer in Islam, I think it makes so much sense, because so that even if you're not caught in this world, at the end you will be. And you will be held responsible and accountable for what you've done. And this applies especially for people who are in power and no one can get to them. Be it a president of a country, of a company, or a CEO, no matter what. So I hope, I pray to Allah that He guides us to this, to realize our approach to accountability, to feeling responsible. That may Allah, I hope Allah opens our heart to that and helps us become aware of this. Even more, that we do not act upon something just because we will not be held accountable for that, or we can get away with it. And with that, I guess I have almost touched 30 minutes, so I would like to pause. I would like to end the talk here, and I hope that I could deliver this message with this deserved justice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.